Number 3B.
So at that important point in Mrs. Eddy's life, 1890-91, that was, to my sense, one of the biggest turning points in Mrs. Eddy's life after 1866. There she made a terrific change in consciousness, a real paradigm shift in consciousness. You know, it was at the time when she had disorganized the church, when she has disorganized the metaphysical college and said, I must have peace and rest of mind. I can't constantly stand in that battlefield where all those many students were battling with each other and with her. I must have some kind of perspective on the whole situation, and so withdrew from Boston in order to rethink everything in quietude. And the outcome of that period of contemplation was the next main edition, that most famous main edition, the 50th edition, which is our sixth main edition. And that was a completely different edition again. So complete that one could hardly compare it anymore with the preceding edition. What has changed? In regard to animal magnetism alone, one could see he reduced again the pages from 12 to 7 and presented that whole subject in 7 pages now. Here we know that for the first time Mrs. Eddy has brought out a textbook that contained all the chapters that are now in the final edition. Up to that point, the textbook did not contain all the chapters which we had. She rewrote, for instance, wrote the new Science, Theology, and Medicine, the sixth edition. And also, in another way, this sixth edition is quite important. For the first time, we can see in each chapter the layout of the chapter as in the final edition, namely in the word order. Up to that point, the chapters had no inner structure that was ordered, but now somehow she changed everything. It was, as I call it, a scissor and paste job, just cutting apart the text that she had from the former edition and rearranging really the paragraphs and the sentences in the order that we have it more or less today. So the sixth main edition had for the first time a great similarity with the final edition. What was the change? We have to see what has been eliminated, and we have to see what is completely new. What did she eliminate? She eliminated that story about the dragon persecuting the woman in the chapter on animal magnetism. She eliminated that whole militant attitude, that struggle attitude, that warfare attitude between the dragon and the woman. She eliminated those three epigraphs that she had, which also were showing the warfare. She eliminated that and put in a new epigraph, namely one that really is bringing out the tone of truth now. Something very different, namely at that point she had the epigraph that says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So she get more distance from animal magnetism and said, don't have anything to do with animal magnetism, but what you have to do, but rather reprove them. Reprove, don't go along with that subject, reprove them. So most of what she had before as malicious animal magnetism was cut out, was eliminated. The whole tone of demonology and the term demonology was eliminated. And you can see that there comes in quite a different standpoint, namely that really the standpoint is to go away from the malpractitioner to the standpoint of principle. So finally she left all that which had to do with a malpractitioner and presented animal magnetism free from personality, from people, and asked herself here, and you can hear then the tone of truth coming in and being stressed, what she didn't ask before, what is then true, what is then real, Truth, he says, is then the true and the real, and therefore evil is unreal. And she stressed the unreality of evil. She didn't do that up to that point. Up to that point, she fought evil as if it would be something. See, and now she could see that evil is nothing, so therefore it's not necessary to fight it. So that was coming in as something new, that evil is unreal, and that evil is but the belief. How it comes in is but the belief. It's no more a reality to fight. It is only suppositional. It's no more only a lie. It's a suppositional lie, a belief which has no quality in truth. Can you hear only through these new terms that she now turns to the standpoint of truth and says only that which is true we should contemplate and adhere to, but reprove the works of the darkness. There is no more a sense of the transference of mortal thought and willpower in it, which was very dominant in the earlier editions. That is cut out also. And then she defines animal magnetism anew. What was the definition that she had of mesmerism already in the first edition? It was that she said that the minds of the sick can be controlled by error. You see, the minds of the sick can be controlled by error, by a malpractitioner. Now she defines animal magnetism completely new, absolutely another way, just leaving all that story behind and say the specific term, that animal magnetism is the specific term for the genus of error. That animal magnetism equal error. That's it. And no more the question of an evil, erroneous mind transferring itself to a patient and bringing to the patient sickness. Now it is just the genus of error. One can see that now the tone of truth is supermost in her consciousness, and that truth is the sum total of truths, and that is the only real. So also that important sentence which we had pointed out in the fifth edition, where she said that in the fifth edition that she said that the maximum of good is today met by the maximum of evil, the fight of two maximum with each other. Now in the sixth is quite different. Now she says the maximum of good is always met by the maximum of suppositional lie. It's now no more met by the maximum of evil, but only by the suppositional lie. And she debunks again in another way that evil can be something as such. There, now it is a lie, and not only a lie, it is even only a suppositional lie. She takes even away from the lie that the lie can be something. It's a suppositional lie. Then she turns to the subject of the student. What should the student do? In this sense. And so she gives the advice to the student that they should know the truth and do it. Can you see, instead of fighting error? So instead of fighting error, she said, do the positive, stand for truth and do it. If you do the truth, then you don't do anything erroneous. Then you are free from animal magnetism, from being in danger of becoming a malpractitioner or in danger of being malpracticed. So you better do the truth and fill your consciousness with truth and do that, and that reproves the works of the darkness. So that the student should never return evil for evil, therefore they should never really fight against evil as if evil would be something, that they should never attack the malpracticioner, that they should know that knowing the truth makes free. All this has never been in the chapter up to now, and we think that's very natural because we are acquainted with the last edition of animal magnetism, and therefore also that demand be a law to yourself. When I went through the third edition, I didn't bring out something else there in that chapter on demonology that she speaks there in a very interesting way about mind. You see, it was at that point where for the first time she began to capitalize mind, and then she speaks about the occult science of mind. Now, to us, this is very strange, because mind is the fact, and occultism is really the counterfeit of mind, of the science of mind. But at that time, when she was trying to find a right terminology, she felt that that mind that had to do with that hidden ways and means of animal magnetism could be counteracted really through the occult science of mind. And only now, in the sixth main edition, she drops that. Can you see again how wonderful it comes out that she had advanced in those years where she was away from Boston and was studying the idea and seeing much more clearer the structure of the textbook, where every chapter really was put into the right order. Therefore, when truth had ordered everything, when the science of the textbook was coming out much clearer, that there was no more occult science there. It was clear-cut now and ordered and structured, so that she dropped also at that point that sense of occult science of mind and changed it into a new term, which she never used, interestingly enough, in the chapter on animal magnetism, on mesmerism, on demonology, etc. Namely, instead of the occult science of mind, she calls it Christian science. Actually, she had used the term divine science and Christian science in other chapters. But here, for the first time, she deals with animal magnetism through Christian science, which is no more occult. It is as if, and we'll see that later on this week, as if at that period of 1889, 1890, 1891, she was beginning to see the structure of her revelation. But up to that point, she didn't see in the least the structure of her revelation. She only could see the effulgence of truth that has come into her consciousness and which she could heal and teach. So that the first time Christian science was mentioned in this chapter. Isn't it amazing? We would never have thought that. We would have thought that right from the beginning, where she discovered in 1866 the Christ science, that she would use the term Christian science all over the place. Not so. She had to grow, so to say, to that term. So because she could see that truth has anything anymore with occult, with something that is occult, that is hidden, that is mysterious. So it was all laid open, all has been brought to light now. And so she could call and she could say, now handle, please, animal magnetism through Christian science. Yes, that's the sixth edition, main edition. And they come to the last main edition, to the seventh main edition, in which is the tone of love predominant, and it is a tone that also is something that we have to keep in our mind in order to understand the rest of our week's work. We will see that everything is, so to say, evolving towards truth and love at our period, and that we have to watch really that development closely. In 1902, she changed the textbook in its layout. The chapters were for the first time put into the order in which we have them now, and which is the order of the matrix of the textbook, the 4x4 structure of the textbook. So as late as 1902, she began spiritually to feel what should be the order of those first 16 chapters. And so the layout of the textbook assumed really its final form. She called the chapter still Animal Magnetism, as she did also from the 50th edition on, 50th, 60th, and now 70th. It is called Animal Magnetism. But then towards the end of her life, in her last year, 1910, she changed the title twice. First, at the beginning of 1910, she changed it into Animal Magnetism Uncovered, and then later on in the year, she changed it into Animal Magnetism Unmasked, which is even better because uncovered means that it is brought under cover and you can see it, whereas she wants to say you can't see animal magnetism, it's not uncovered, it's unmasked. Behind it is something very different. Animal magnetism is only a mask that distorts really something that is of the nature of truth, which is really scientific. So she leaves it at that title, left it for the future. But here again we must see that what she wrote on the subject of animal magnetism in the Journal and Sentinel, and that is most interesting. Already shortly before that term, when she edited really the textbook anew, she wrote a very interesting short article in 1899 that had already the touch of the 6th and 7th main revision. Namely, under the title What Our Leader Says, which is now in Miscellany, page 210, What Our Leader Says, she says, in regard to the whole question of animal magnetism, she says, keep your minds so filled with truth and love. Now, we have seen the 6th main edition was that edition of truth. The coming edition, the 7th edition, that was around the corner to be printed, had a main tone of love. She said, keep your minds so filled with truth and love that sin, disease, and death cannot enter them. It is plain that nothing can be added to the mind already full. Can you hear something? Can you hear my great endeavor to show today that we are coming from the 6th to the 7,000 year period, that in that term, from the 6th to the 7th, the form of consciousness must change. It must change from the 6th to the 7th. It must change to truth and love. That we would show that if we go out from the synonymous term and only see the ideas of the synonymous term, that's the 6,000 year period, and then finally we find the tonality which can drop the ideas because they are included, implicitly included in the synonymous term, and we come to the 7,000 year period where we just go out from the synonymous term, and the synonymous term just contemplate itself, the synonymous terms as such, and no more ideas. Then we touch the 7,000 year period, where the consciousness that is so filled with truth and love is so full that nothing can enter, that we can neither malpractice nor being malpracticed, so that the whole subject of animal magnetism is really reduced to something that is unmasked, where we have taken the mask away and have seen behind it is the reality of being, that we fill our consciousness with the reality of being, with the seven synonymous term, with the four orders of the holy city, with the four levels of science, that we have a consciousness of the capitalized term which does not take notice of anything else but itself. And that handles the situation once and for all. So at that point she brings out, therefore, the unreality and nothingness of evil. Constantly she stresses in that one the unreality and nothingness of evil, while in the earlier edition she still would say, as we remember, that the knowledge of good and evil is necessary in order to handle evil, that if we leave evil alone, that we will be in danger, that evil will grow and expand. And that's true, as long as consciousness is on that level. The moment consciousness is on another level, namely that of the 6,000 and 7,000 year period consciousness, then that statement is no more good enough. Therefore, she says now this liberation does not scientifically show itself in the knowledge of good and evil, for the latter is unreal. So from that standpoint, we deal with evil in a completely different way than if you would have been living in the consciousness of the 4th and 5th thousand-year period, or 4th and 5th main edition of the animal magnetism. Everything now in the last edition is no more real, no more something that has to be met with. It's all now always the so-called, and not something that has to be considered. She speaks always of the so-called force, of the so-called mortal mind, of the so-called despotism, of the so-called action of animal magnetism, of a suppositional lie. And you can hear right away that now she has debunked really an evil as being something, that it's only a suppositional lie and nothingness. And that famous rendering which we have considered in the 5th and 6th edition, namely that maximum of good, it again is changed. And this change alone in this line gives us an indication how Mrs. Eddy has grown in consciousness. Now, suddenly she says, or I repeat what she said before, you know, in the 5th she said, the maximum of good is met today by the maximum of evil. That was the struggle. Then in the 6th it says the maximum of good is always met by the maximum of suppositional evil. Now it's already suppositional, no more evil. And now she changes it again and says the maximum of good is what? The infinite God and his idea, the all in all, the all in all. Hence, and therefore no more as before, hence the fight of to crush science. That was a rendering in the 6,000-year period. Hence the fight to crush science. There is no more a fight against science. If we are in the consciousness of the 7,000-year period, which is that which is adapted to that 7th edition, then we only have the maximum of good. What is that maximum of good, she said? God, the infinite God and his idea. That's the standpoint of the 6th and 7th thousand-year period, namely the all in all. And therefore there is no more a question how to challenge evil, how to challenge the attack against science. All that is dropped and put into that consciousness of the 7th and 6th thousand-year period. So we can see that actually there is no animal magnetism under the condition that our consciousness is on the level of the 6th and 7th thousand-year period. If our consciousness is not on that level and is way back in the, perhaps in the 5th main edition, then we have to take up the struggle with the dragon. Then the Michael has to fight with the dragon. Then there is that sense that we have a warfare with evil. But that is only as long as we are on that level of consciousness, which would be adequate to the 5,000-year period consciousness. So can you see, you have to read my book on the breakthrough, the spiritual breakthrough of the next millennium. You have to read it. You have to study it. You can't get away anymore. You will no more be able to follow what we are teaching next year and the years after if you don't understand that red booklet. You can't anymore. We are not going back. We have made that decision that we are not going back because the student wants to draw us back to that level of what is evil, to what is evil, how can you define evil, do you have to handle evil, and all these questions, they all belong to the past. We finally should be at the point where we have that, left that behind us. But that necessitates, naturally, that we culture our consciousness very carefully, very systematically in the consciousness of the capitalized terms, so that that is the new form of our consciousness. Then there is no more such a thing as evil. Up to that point, animal magnetism is as much as we attribute evil to person, place, or thing. That's the only animal magnetism. What we humanly attribute to person, place, or thing in the nature of a negative connotation. That's animal magnetism. We, in our consciousness, produce that animal magnetism. There is no such a thing in the whole of world that has the identity called animal magnetism. It's all a question of our belief structure, and the more we attribute evil to person, place, or thing, the more we practice animal magnetism. The less we attribute to person, place, or thing, anything, either good nor bad, then we are in the 7,000-year period. At that point, where the maximum of God is what? God and his idea, the all in all. There is no good nor bad person there. There is no evil nor good there. There is just the maximum of good as God and his idea. That's the standpoint of our consciousness. Okay? Tomorrow we go and take the text of the chapter on animal magnetism, and if possible, bring the Epitome book with you, this book. And we read together the text of animal magnetism.